This is Michael Johnson, and we're here on a podcast with the F5 Corporation. Particularly representing it today is Ken Salko, who is the Technical Marketing Manager for F5. Welcome to the podcast, Ken.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about F5 for those that aren't familiar with it. They certainly may be familiar with some of the technology that you deal with. Can you tell us a little bit about the company?
Sure. F5 Networks is a company. We're actually going to be celebrating our 10th year this year. And we deal in a space in networking called application delivery networking. Basically, we provide appliances that bridge the gap between the traditional packet switching network and the actual applications that run on them, kind of translating between the two to make sure that everything works the way it's supposed to, making sure everything's secure, fast, and available.
So we're going to talk today particularly about one of these technologies that's been around quite a bit as well, IPv6. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Let's break that down and define that first, and then we'll go into it a little bit more.
Sure. IPv6 is what they're talking about, the next generation of TCP/IP to take over where IPv4 left off on the Internet. Just for those who don't know, there was no real IPv5. There was, but it didn't relate to TCP/IP, really. IPv6 is the next generation. There's a couple characteristics of it that are pretty important to us. The number one thing is that the address space for IPv6 is much larger than the IPv4. So for anybody who's been playing around with the Internet a long time, they've known that we've run out of addresses many, many times, and we keep coming up with kind of workaround solutions to get around that fact. That's not been completely solved. They're kind of workarounds. IPv6 has an infinite almost number of addresses. I think someone told me once that there are enough addresses in IPv6 that you could give a single IP address to every atom in your body. I don't know how realistic that was, but the point being is that we're going to need all this addressing space, because if you take a look at mobile phones, the number of mobile phones is proliferating, and it's sooner or later every one of them is going to have a unique IP address as we start communicating between each other.
How's the enterprise going to adopt IPv6? Because it's obvious that if this is all coming, it's not quite here yet. What are some of the things that enterprise is going to need to be doing in order to adopt the new protocol?
Well, see, and that's part of the problem. That's part of the reason why IPv6 hasn't really caught on, is because the Internet still runs on IPv4. And so as companies are taking a look at having or moving to this transition of changing this protocol, they're going to have to find a way to actually run both of them at the same time, kind of some way to translate between the two, because so much of our enterprise business is run on the Internet today. You can't do without it. So they're going to have to find some way to translate, be able to use both IPv4, say, on the Internet, and IPv6 internally.
How soon does this adaptation need to take place? And maybe you can talk a little bit about the Homeland Security Directive that is urging the industry towards IPv6.
The Homeland Security Presidential Directive number 12, it's pretty much a mouthful. What it is it's a directive that says that our federal agencies need to adopt IPv6, at least for their backbone networks, by 2008, I believe it is. IPv6 does have some additional security features that IPv4 doesn't have. And obviously, by making the federal agencies move to IPv6, it's going to spur the vendors to have to make sure they have good products to handle IPv6. And of course, once those agencies are on IPv6, contractors and subcontractors and consultants are all going to have to start dealing with it. So that's going to really push this into mainstream. It's kind of that you're going to get to a point of critical mass. There's going to be so much IPv6 out there, and the government's going to be ordering so many devices to enable this transition that the prices are going to come down where it's actually going to make sense for enterprises to start doing it.
What kinds of things are going to need to be happening? Because obviously, if you've got the rest of the country still on IPv4, what kind of processes are the enterprise businesses going to need to do in order to sort of transition over? Because it's not going to be, as you're saying, a flip of the switch. It's not going to be that easy. This is going to be something that's going to be a very measured transition. But how are they going to do that, and what kinds of technologies are there to enable enterprise to adopt that standard?
Right. So there's a lot of pieces to that. There's the clients, there's the network equipment, the routers, the switches, the hubs, all those kinds of things. And then there's the servers and the applications. So So first of all, no one could flip a switch right now because we don't really have all that equipment. The servers and the clients aren't necessarily all able to really do IPv6 at the same rate anyway. And there's going to be issues with applications to be able to actually handle IPv6, even if they were on a server that could do it. Some of the applications may not like that very much as well. So first, I mean, enterprises are going to have to really take a look and evaluate what's possible, what can they do. Then the second thing is that really, because you can't do this overnight, the Internet's not going away anytime soon, and I don't know that the current Internet we use today, being IPv4, I don't know if that's ever going to transition to IPv6 or if we're going to have to, maybe we're going to co-opt Internet 2, which runs on IPv6 now, and the academics would love that. But they're going to have some sort of equipment that translates. They're going to have some device that sits in between all these types of things, whether it's you run your client's IPv6 internally, and when they go out to the Internet, they need to be translated or NATed into IPv4 addresses so they can work on the Internet. Or same thing might happen with your internal applications. Maybe you have an application that's mission-critical to the enterprise that simply doesn't like IPv6 at all. You're going to have to find some way to mitigate that with a device so that you can continue to use that application while you figure out what to do with it, replace it, rewrite it, whatever you have to do.
And does F5 offer some solutions to that situation? Or are you looking in that direction to be one of the bridging mechanisms between the two systems?
Well, we do offer a solution for that, and it's actually kind of funny. It kind of exemplifies why I went from being a customer to an employee 7 years ago, is that it's a minor feature as far as most people are concerned, but our Big IP local traffic manager actually can operate as an IPv6 gateway. So we can take traffic in, we can present an IPv4 address to clients that are still running IPv4, we can listen for traffic to that, and then we can distribute that traffic behind us to IPv6 addresses. Or we can do it the other way. We can have an IPv6 address on our appliance that listens for traffic from IPv6 clients and distributes that traffic to IPv4 servers on the backside. It also is kind of interesting because the local traffic manager, what most people know it for, is load balancing. So typically behind our device, you have more than one server. And this is what got me to come to work for F5, is just the versatility of this type of equipment that I've used, is that you can actually have a migration strategy. So if you have, let's say you have an application has maybe three servers behind it for high availability or performance, scalability, whatever, and you want to be able to transition those to IPv6. So all your clients are still IPv4, your servers are IPv4 at the moment, and you want to move them to IPv6. You can actually take down, behind our piece of equipment, the LTM, you can take down one of those servers. The clients will never know it because we'll still be load balancing across the other two. You can upgrade that server to IPv6 and make sure the application works. And then once it's running, you simply enable that server again. We will actually load balance that traffic across all three servers, two of them still using IPv4 addresses, one of them using an IPv6 address.
So it's kind of like a virtual translator in a way, huh?
Right, and that's what virtualization has been one of the mm-hmm. you know the key buzzwords in the industry for a while. But I mean, that's what this device does. It allows you to do this migration very slowly. You can pull up one server, and you know maybe you want to let it run for you know a few days or a few weeks just to make sure that there's no bugs in it. Once you're sure that it seems to be running all right, you can drop down one of the IPv4 servers that remain, upgrade it to IPv6, and move it over. Your clients will, the customers and the end users will never know the difference between it.
Because it's totally encapsulated the servers on the other side. Huh?
Yep, it's completely hidden from them. They still just see the IPv4 address that sits on the front side of the equipment. And of course, that goes the opposite direction as well. If you have a network that's capable of handling IPv6 addresses and IPv4 addresses, we can actually put two different listening IPs on the front side of our device, one that's IPv4 and one that's IPv6. So as you migrate your clients, as they're capable of running IPv6 addressing, we simply just have a new address for them to look to.
So you've got a solution, it sounds like, on both ends, whether you're going into the system or whether you're IPv6 or IPv4, you could certainly lay the big IP traffic manager right in front of it and be able to work either end.
Well, and the great thing about it is that a lot of enterprises already have big IP LTM sitting there, and they just don't even know that this capability is even there. I would say that's why we're trying to tell the story. Is I know a lot of people are panicking about what's going to happen when they have to go to IPv6, and you know, some of them are my friends that I've known for years, and I keep telling them they have a solution sitting right there.
So they already have it. It's just a matter of really using what they have with the proper resources and applications in order to enable them for what's coming in the future.
Exactly.
Now, tell me, how flexible are the solutions that you're offering here? Because it seems if it can work from either end or for either an IPv4 client or an IPv6 client, that there's a lot of flexibility built into the F5 solution.
Well, and that exemplifies the flexibility of the total solution. We have all sorts of other things that are available or capable of being licensed on top of that appliance that range from caching compression, encryption, a web application firewall, a whole host of things that can be on there. So it's extremely flexible to fit the specific requirements and the needs of an individual enterprise.
What do you think are some of the first businesses that would be the types that would need to look at a solution like this to be moving between IPv4 and IPv6 applications?
Well, obviously, again, since there's a lot of the mandate, the HSPD 12, that says the federal agencies need to migrate to this, obviously anybody who does business with them. You could be just a contractor, but if you've got to plug into their network, you may have to figure out how to handle having an IPv6 address on a laptop or dual homing that laptop. It may end up being easier for you just to switch at the same time as the federal agencies. And, of course, I don't know if they're looking at it, but, you know, for personally, I hope that the mobile telephone systems start looking at IPv6 because I cannot wait until my phone actually has a real IP address so I can do something with it.
If someone is listening to this and they think that this might be a solution for their business, is there a website that they can sort of learn a little bit more about some of the F5 solutions and a little bit more about the issues involved in the conversion from IPv4 to IPv6?
Sure. We have a website. We actually have one of the greatest two-letter domains out there. It's you can go to www.f5.com.
Let's repeat that for those that have really short-term memory.
All right, www.f5.com. The letter F, the number 5.
Okay. Well, this has been fascinating, and I think we'll continue doing some learning and sharing a podcast with F5 Networks as well. But it's been a great conversation, and really, you know, let's open up some knowledge gates out there and about what's coming.
Well, I appreciate it, and this has been a lot of fun.
Okay. Ken Salko is the Technical Marketing Manager for F5 Networks. And thanks for being with us on the podcast, Ken.
Thank you.